Welcome to a special episode of Care Experts, featuring the best of Dr. Solomon. We've put together the most popular and talked about episodes with Dr. Shirley Solomon, a board-certified physician and injectable expert, and the founder of the Cosmetic Injectable Center in Sherman Oaks, California. We'll be covering injectable fillers and Botox, filler correction, building collagen, and PDO threads. Let's get started.
What exactly are injectable fillers?
Fillers are substances, because there's options. I say that plural because we have different options, that are placed under the skin to create either volume, fill a line, or potentially even change the facial structure for maybe a more feminine face or a more masculine face, so gender-affirming type procedures.
So what are the different kinds of dermal fillers and what do they treat?
So there's a few different types. The most common one is hyaluronic acids, okay, which are instantly reversible. We just have an enzyme we inject and it instantly goes away, hence the safety nature of them. And then there are a few other types such as calcium hydroxyapatite. It's white in color and it emulates more of a bony type structural support. And then there's PLLA, which is polylactic acid, and that is good for just spreading and overall volumizing. It just spreads and creates that overall reinflation of the face.
And how long would these dermal fillers last?
Depending on the type you use, there's some that last as short as 3 months, and then there are those that last over 2 years.
And then what happens when they wear off? Is there something that is going to change about the structure of your face?
As long as you haven't gone into extremes, the skin just goes back to where it was initially.
And what exactly is Botox, and what would Botox be recommended for?
So Botox is very different than fillers. While fillers volumize, Botox relaxes muscle, right? So by relaxing the muscle, it doesn't do anything to the skin other than just relaxing the muscle that's underneath it.
Okay.
So when you relax the muscle, it doesn't contract, and hence the skin that sits in front of the muscle isn't going to fold as much, so it doesn't scrunch up the skin in that manner.
And how long does Botox usually last?
When used in optimal dosage, then it can last anywhere between 3 to 4 months. Usually, there are people who are a little more sensitive, and it can go as long as 6 months. But even those people that are sensitive, sometimes with time, the body figures out how to get rid of it, and they normalize, and they again end up being about 3 to 4 months.
Got it. And how would you help a patient decide between Botox and filler?
I love using them in conjunction. So if I need a muscle to stop contracting, I'll go with Botox. If I need to hydrate an area or reinflate an area on the face, then I'll go with fillers.
What if someone doesn't like the results of their fillers? Let's hear what Dr. Solomon has to say about filler correction.
When exactly would you need this, or like what would the signs be to know that you might need filler correction?
So if you feel like something's asymmetrical, or if you have lumps and bumps, or again, if you thought that big lips would look great on you, but then you have them done and you just like your old smaller lips better because it just fits your face better, it could just be a personal choice, then you have that option to dissolve the filler. There are potential times where if the filler is inhibiting the travel of blood, which carries oxygen with it, to the anticipated area, such as a part of the cheek or somewhere else on the face, then it's good that we can actually undo that blockage so that blood flow will be regained. So there's some safety, I want to say seatbelt, that you can actually undo anything that you just don't like the results of.
And how exactly does it work? Is it another injectable, just like the filler was?
Yes. Okay. So you just inject it into the area where you don't want the filler to remain.
And can filler be removed?
Through the injection of the hyaluronidase, you can actually dissolve that filler if it's hyaluronic acid-based. So there are other filler types. FDA-approved filler types include PLLA, polylactic acid, and calcium hydroxyapatite. Those are not as reversible, as easily reversible as the hyaluronic acids. So it just depends what kind of product was used.
And how long can filler be manipulated for?
So after injection, it comes out of a needle, right? Mm-hmm. So it's liquid. It can be manipulated a lot for the first 3 days. But after that, it settles into place. You can still manipulate it if you really massage it firmly. You can break it down, but it's a little bit more gelatinized. So the longer you wait, the more stable it is.
Now let's hear what Dr. Solomon has to say about building collagen.
So what actually causes you to lose collagen?
Aging is, of course, a big part of it, and just genetics. But outside of that, there are things that you can control, things like smoking, ultraviolet light, taking too much sugar, or having a poor diet. Things like that can increase your risk of losing collagen a little bit faster or as you age.
When would someone actually need collagen therapy?
So it's really good for anyone, because when you're younger, you can help to prevent collagen loss. And as you get older, you can help to treat collagen loss. Collagen, just as much as it's a slow loss over your whole life, it's also a slow gain, because we can't inject it. So we have to just induce collagen production. And the body is very slow in producing collagen. And so starting early is important, because then you can maintain, as opposed to wait till you lose a lot and then try to reverse it.
And I know one form of collagen, to stimulate collagen, is microneedling. So how exactly does that procedure work?
So if you've ever had a cut, you would see how first you scab within a few hours, and then your skin grows over that scab, right? And replaces that scab. That's the cascade that we try to hack into. When you make these tiny little dots into the skin, these micro cuts that you can't really visualize, but they're there, the body thinks you have a cut, and it starts producing those proteins that help the healing process start to take place. And then also, if you've noticed, when you get a scab, the skin starts to get tighter, tighter, tighter. So that's the same principle that happens when you have these little microscopic cuts into the skin. The skin starts to shrink a little bit. So while you're producing collagen, while you're producing new growth of skin, and even shedding some of the old skin to allow the new skin to take its place in a more even manner or healed manner, you're also getting a lot of tightening.
And talk to me a little bit about collagen injectables. What are the difference between the two?
Great question. So collagen is no longer FDA approved in the United States.
Okay.
So injection of collagen would be very uneven, lumpy. We just don't do it.
Okay.
The best way to get collagen is to induce it.
Okay.
So you kind of make the skin produce that collagen. And there are a lot of variety of ways. There's things like creams like Retin-A. There are radio frequencies. So there's the heat type of producing collagen. Again, lasers, radio frequency falling into that category. There's trauma that can produce collagen. That's the microneedling, causing the body to try to heal. So then it induces the collagen production. And then there's irritation of the skin that can also induce collagen. So if you're putting things like threads underneath the skin, the body doesn't like threads. So it creates a defense mechanism. It tries to create a cocoon around that thread, and that cocoon is collagen production, exactly in the direction you put the thread. So again, it's a bit slow, but over time, if you just keep working on it, then you can increase your collagen firmness of the skin over the long term of your life.
Finally, here's Dr. Solomon's insights on PDO threads.
So can you tell me, what exactly is a PDO thread lift?
PDO threads are polydiaxinone threads. It's just a polymer that makes up the thread itself. And they've been used for decades in surgery in terms of doing sutures and correcting cuts and wounds. So if you've ever had a suture, then you would know what they are, right? They've been used. So while using those, they found that it elicits a lot of collagen. So afterwards, the skin is thicker and firmer, and it just looks less bendable. So someone had a brilliant idea of loading it onto a needle and just inserting it under the skin so that they can promote the collagen and get the same firming effect. And that's how threads came about on needles. And then to take it a step further, they added some barbs onto that thread. And so when inserted, we can actually tug on it and create a little bit of a lifting effect while promoting collagen to hold it in place.
So I know you were kind of just getting into that, but how exactly would the procedure work?
So yes, we have to first determine what kind of lift we want, what kind of pull we want. Some people need it to go back a little or up a little or diagonal and whatnot in different areas of the face. It could be the brows, it could be the jowls, it could be the nasolabial folds. So once we determine what kind of lift we want, or it could just be just thickening the skin and making it firmer. For example, under the chin, you can have a lot of droopiness, right?
Yeah.
So placing threads, smooth threads in this area can firm up the skin so it doesn't droop. So once we determine that, then we choose a thread of choice and we either tug, pull, or place it to create firmness.
Now, I know other people are probably wondering, but is this a painful procedure?
It can be if the right technique isn't used.
Okay.
But at this point, we have so many modalities that we could reduce the pain. There is, you could put numbing creams. But in addition to that, you can inject beforehand the numbing. You can put the numbing inside of the thread syringe. As you're injecting, you can numb as you go. You can use cannulas, which are not sharp, so they don't cut anything. So there's less pain with that. And then there's also the layer that you insert the thread. Mm-hmm. If it's placed correctly right under the skin, in front of the muscle, then the pain is a lot less than if it goes through the muscle.
And how long do threads last? Is it something that you're going to need like repeated procedures, or is it one and done?
A good analogy I use is if you have a house and you're trying to hold it up, how many columns do you need to make that house strong, right? In against earthquake or in our case, running and moving, right? So the more columns, the better the hold. And so depending on whether you're using barb or smooth threads for pulling, I always like to put it in at least vectors of two in each area so I can tie it and hold it in place longer.
Okay.
In terms of smooth threads, I like to use as many as possible because the more you place, the longer it lasts, the firmer it gets. It's not like Botox where you want to sometimes just prevent the aging of the skin. Mm-hmm. So every visit, I might pop in a few of them.
Yeah.
But smooth threads last about 6 months. But the collagen it induces lasts about 2 years. Now, along that process, that timing, you can always add more. Same thing with pulling threads. You'll see some longevity of somewhere between maybe 4 weeks to a year.
Okay.
But you can always add more and tug more. And the collagen, again, in that case, lasts about 2 years.
Thank you, Dr. Solomon.
Thanks for joining us for this special Best of Dr. Solomon episode of Care Experts. All of our featured care experts recommend and accept the CareCredit credit card. Visit carecredit.com for more information.
Thanks for joining us on Care Experts with CareCredit. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share with friends and family. And stay tuned for new episodes every week. All information, opinions, and recommendations discussed in this episode are for your information only. We believe the information sources are generally reliable, but because of possible human or mechanical error by the sources, Synchrony or its affiliates, including CareCredit, does not provide warranty to the accuracy, quality, or completeness of the information or any results obtained from it. Any statement or opinions in this episode are the doctor's alone, and included data was current to the time of creating this episode. Please consult your own advisors before using any of this information.